Ciao amici. Welcome to Cinema Italiano, the podcast dedicated to the Italian experience as told by film. Today, we'll be talking about Alice Rohrwacher's 2018 film, Happy as Lazzaro, or Lazzaro Felice. I've been meaning to cover this movie for a while now, and this month, March 2024, feels like a perfect time to cover an Alice Rohrwacher film with her latest movie, La Chimera, coming to U.S. theaters this week. I also have episodes on her other feature films, Corpo Celeste, The Wonders, and her short film, Le Pupille. I'll be sure to include those in the show notes to compile together all our coverage of Rohrwacher's filmography. But this one, Happy as Lazzaro, was the first Alice Rohrwacher movie I ever saw, soon after it arrived on Netflix. At the time, the unique style and pacing that Rohrwacher employs as a director, I wasn't quite used to yet, and it took a bit for me to warm up to it. But I did really admire how the story develops and the surprising turn it takes around the halfway point. Since then, Rohrwacher has become one of my favorite Italian directors, so I was excited to revisit this one with greater understanding and admiration for her craft as a director. This is Alice Rohrwacher's third feature film, after Corpo Celeste and The Wonders, which both follow adolescent girls having to grow up amid challenging circumstances and surroundings, while Happy as Lazzaro focuses on a teenage boy, the titular Lazzaro. It premiered at the Cannes Film Festival in 2018 and went on to win the Best Screenplay Prize. Now, most of these movie-specific episodes do contain spoilers, and for Happy as Lazzaro in particular, it's basically impossible to speak at length about it without spoiling it. So, spoilers ahead. Happy as Lazzaro is set in rural central Italy, on a tobacco farm called Inviolata, where a few dozen laborers of all ages, from infant to very elderly, work the farm for the Marchesa della Luna, a noblewoman. Among the farm workers is the young man Lazzaro, who stands out from the group. He has wide, attentive eyes, and at times stands still, staring out into the void, and is overall a bit of an oddball. He's also taken for granted, where everyone knows they can count on him to do favors and pull extra weight, and he's happy to do so without a second thought. He takes on standing guard for the chickens and sheep, even with the known threat of a lone wolf out there. One day, the Marchesa and her son visit, along with her estate manager and his daughter. The Marchesa's son, the young Marchese, named Tancredi, befriends Lazzaro and asks him to hang out, pulling Lazzaro away from farm work. Tancredi is a somewhat spiky character who's hot and cold and in rebellious teenager mode. He creates a fake story that he's been kidnapped, crafting a phony ransom note to route back to his mother, and bestows upon Lazzaro what he calls a weapon, just a scrappily made slingshot. The estate manager's daughter, Teresa, does believe Tancredi's ransom note that he's genuinely been kidnapped, and she calls the police. Soon, the quiet farmland of the tobacco estate is invaded by a helicopter, and, distracted by this otherworldly sight, Lazzaro loses his balance and falls off a cliff. The farm workers, too, are shocked by the modern wonder of a helicopter, and the policeman who steps out is in turn himself surprised at what he sees. He can't believe that there are kids here working hard labor who don't attend school, and he tells the workers that sharecropping has in fact been illegal for decades. The farm workers are all brought away in a big bus, leaving Lazzaro's body behind. A wolf paces through the now empty estate, sniffs the body of Lazzaro, who suddenly wakes up. He enters the Marchesa's house, now empty and abandoned, and finds two men robbing it. He follows their directions into town, walking all the way down a dirt road, and when he arrives there, he finds Antonia, a girl who was around his age back at the Inviolata farm, but is now a grown woman. Years have gone by since the farm workers of Inviolata were freed, but Lazzaro has been asleep all that time. He hasn't even aged a day, and the rest of the world has moved on. Antonia is stunned by the miracle before her, and tries to bring Lazzaro into the fold, along with other former Inviolata laborers. But he's not crafty enough to go along with her con work, earning money in town. In the city, he stumbles upon a tiny dog, like one that Tancredi has brought with him to Inviolata, and follows the voice calling it to find Tancredi himself, who has also grown up, now a middle-aged man. Tancredi is overjoyed to see his old friend, and invites the whole group of former Inviolata farmers to his house for lunch. They prepare by bringing a box of pastries, wiping out all their cash to buy it, to bring to the Marchese's house. But they're turned away at the door. And Teresa, who's now his girlfriend, asks that they leave the box behind. She says Tancredi was ruined by the banks, and they could use any bit of help. Rejected from their lunch appointment, the group of former Inviolata farmers hears beautiful music playing in a church. They step inside, but are again turned away, this time by a nun. The organ music follows them outside, though. The church grows quiet, the music drifts through the front doors, and catches up outside with the group. As they make their way home, the others discuss the idea of returning to Inviolata and trying their luck at the remains of that estate, while Lazzaro stays behind, resting against a tree and silently weeping. We next see the inside of a bank, where Lazzaro slowly steps inside and bypasses the line, going straight to the tellers, asking them to give back Tancredi's money. He's unaware that his ask is meaningless and has no resonance to the bankers that he's pleading with. His behavior makes the others in the bank get nervous and accuse Lazzaro of having a weapon. He honestly answers yes, referring to the slingshot in his pocket back from the Inviolata days, and everyone panics. Once they catch a glimpse of the slingshot, though, they attack him, beating him to the ground and kicking him, bloodying his face. Lying on the ground, he again sees the wolf, the same one that woke him up from Inviolata. The wolf then exits the bank, walks through traffic, and runs back to the countryside. As its name suggests, the story of Happy as Lazzaro explores religious themes, with Lazzaro as a modern-day Lazarus, as well as St. Francis of Assisi, from the nearby region where the story is set, and is also the patron saint of Italy. Lazzaro is the Italian name for Lazarus, a pivotal figure in the New Testament, the man who Jesus Christ raises from the dead. Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, the same Martha who, I believe, inspires the main character in Alice Rohrwacher's first film, Corpo Celeste. Christ goes to the tomb where Lazarus's body is resting and calls for him to come forth. And he does, miraculously, in front of witnesses, still wrapped in linen cloth, as one of Christ's great miracles. Similarly, in Happy as Lazzaro, Lazzaro has essentially died and come back from the dead, suffering a huge fall off a cliff, passing out for years, then rising again, as though a day hadn't passed by. Even the reaction from Antonia and others from Inviolata is one of wonder that a miracle has taken place. For some, like her parents, they suspect he's a ghost or a devil, but his sudden appearance is taken as some kind of rising from the dead. In addition to Lazarus, Lazzaro also has many parallels to St. Francis of Assisi. Francis is directly pointed to during a voiceover narration given by Antonia. She tells the story of a wolf who had grown old and couldn't hunt. The wolf went to different houses to steal food, and the people set traps but could never catch him. A local saint was rumored to be able to speak to animals and sets off to find the wolf and make a truce. The saint collapses in the snow, and the wolf finds him, ready to bite. But the wolf smells something he's never smelled before, the smell of a good man. In the text of the film, it's not explicitly stated that this is St. Francis, but in the closing credits, it references the book San Francesco e il Lupo, St. Francis and the Wolf, by Chiara Frugoni, a story also told in The Little Flowers of St. Francis, which is a compilation work that came out shortly following the saint's death, and is also the inspiration for Roberto Rossellini's film, The Flowers of St. Francis. The moral of this story with St. Francis and the Wolf, continued throughout these texts, is the power and bravery of nonviolence, facing a violent threat head-on, peacefully, not counteracting with more bloodshed. St. Francis is often depicted in artwork, painting, and sculpture with animals as their patron saint. The wolf metaphor, which we'll get to more in a second, looms the largest in Happy as Lázaro, and Lázaro's gentle nature with animals is shown in even more ways. His gentle handling of Tancredi's dogs, in both eras, with a sweet delicacy for such small creatures. He's also the one who tends to the sheep and guards the hen house as their guardian from the predator of the wolf. Among St. Francis's traits is also the virtue of obedience, which Lázaro exemplifies almost to a fault. He does everything others tell him, without independent thought or critical thinking. He believes and does what he is told, a virtue of the saint that is nearly incompatible in our contemporary world. Lázaro is also presented as a martyr. It is acting through his purity and goodness, doing what he thinks is right to help his friend, that brings him to a tragic, violent end because of it, as an ironic fate for such a peaceful, nonviolent figure. Beyond the religious context, the figure of the wolf has a greater symbolism throughout the film, comparing the lone wolf to the collective of the sheep. A literal wolf is an omnipresent figure at Inviolata, whose howls can be heard and is a real threat to the chickens, sheep, and even the laborers who work there. Tancredi and Lázaro call out for it, almost as a game to see if they can make contact, and then it appears on camera for the first time when it awakens Lázaro from his sleep. Lázaro himself is a bit of a lone wolf. He stands apart from everyone else at Inviolata, as a bit of an odd one out, without even parents to claim him. He exists within the large semi-family unit, calling one older woman grandmother, but he doesn't fully belong to anyone. He's on the outside of an otherwise tight-knit collective. And in his solitary moments, he is drawn to the moon, finding comfort in it, and even smiling and talking to it. He is the wolf as an individual, and the rest of Inviolata are the sheep, a collective who are swindled by the Marquesa, but still naive enough to not try to escape and accept their life of servitude. The wolf, as a creature who calls to the moon and walks by night, also plays out in the film's divide between light and dark, day and night. With only the moon, a natural source of light, Lázaro doesn't mind staying out late, otherwise in darkness. In fact, when he is awakened by the wolf, years into the future, the sun strikes his face and he uses his hand to block the light out. He operates just fine in darkness, while the others are yearning for more light. In the opening scene, the women of the farm scramble up a single light bulb to light up their room as one of the men serenades the woman he wants to marry. Light bulbs come up again when the estate manager, Nicola, comes by the farm and someone requests an additional light bulb. The estate manager replies, "Why use a light bulb when they have the moon?" The light bulb comes into play again later on in the film, in the future time period. The adult Tancredi lifts a pan up with his arm to play that it's the moon, and Lázaro plays along, howling at it, and it brings back everyone's past younger selves for a brief moment, before one of the women screws a light bulb into the ceiling and returning everyone's selves back to the present and back to reality. The light bulb has a practical use and is also a tie to modernity as a symbol of light representing awareness and consciousness. The people of Inviolata are not aware how the world has changed or of any progress beyond their small window to the world. It is access to modernity, the light bulb turning on, that awakens them to the outside world and brings them to the present day. On the other side, Lázaro, operating on his own wavelength, has no yearning for more, whether beyond the natural world or greater awareness. He's not being willfully ignorant or rejecting it. He simply doesn't need it, or it doesn't occur to him that there's any use for it. His limited consciousness and awareness applies for physical objects as well as for people and social norms, harboring no resentment, ill will, or even expectations of others. The other laborers at Inviolata, however accepting of their fate they may be, also justifiably carry a sense of resentment and frustration with their lot in life. Two of the kids spit on a cake being served to the Marquesa, and another boy steals the mirror off of the estate manager's motorcycle, and no one cares enough to get it back. Meanwhile, for Lazzaro, one day in the Marquesa's house, the young Antonia points out the Marquesa's set of fine cutlery, including the fact that none of the farmers has ever been invited over as a guest to share in this decadence. The injustice of their situation and the lack of courtesy from the Marquesa is completely lost on Lazzaro. He is stuck in time as someone who is incompatible in the future, though he isn't exactly equipped to operate in the past either. One almost wonders, how long has he been around? If he is someone just out of time, never truly belonging in any time or place. The film's two halves, the first at Inviolata, the tobacco farm, and the second in the future, in the city, represent two very different realities. Inviolata is a setting of modern-day slavery through sharecropping, and no agency or mobility for those who work the land. It is also more with nature, set in a beautiful landscape, working the land but not conquering it. Even its name, Inviolata, literally means unviolated, undamaged, like a slice of nature untouched by modernity, both for good and for bad. In contrast, the contemporary world could not look uglier, all covered in concrete, graffiti, and filth. Everyone is chilly and bundled up, in a freezing cold alternative to the warm summers of the countryside. At the home of Antonia and the others from Inviolata, they don't recognize plants growing as edible. They've gone so far removed from nature, they don't recognize it when they see it. These ideas, Lazzaro as a modern-day Lazarus and St. Francis, as well as him as a lone wolf isolated from others, are part of a larger theme of adolescence that Alice Rohrwacher explores throughout her films. Happy as Lazzaro is the third feature by Rohrwacher, following Corpo Celeste in 2011, The Wonders in 2014, then Happy as Lazzaro in 2018. All three feature teenagers already in age of transition between childhood and adulthood, in the scenarios of each movie, dig deeper into even further divides. In Corpo Celeste, Marta is returning to Italy after growing up in Switzerland, and is in the process of reintegrating with the community and preparing for the sacrament of catechism, but she gradually becomes isolated, disassociating from the unsacred reality of her church. In The Wonders, the lead character Gelsomina, a teenage girl who seems to hold everything together for her family's bee farm, sees a TV competition program as her way up, bringing her agrarian, set-in-its-ways family into the modern age. And here in Happy as Lazzaro, the teenage Lazzaro is, from the onset, an outsider from his community, then further set apart, with no one his equal, as someone with a miraculous ability who stays the same even as the world changes. Lazzaro's character, who is quiet but captivating and is a symbol of innocence and goodness, reminds me of Giulietta Masina's Gelsomina in Fellini's La Strada. She is also simple-minded and forced into a harsh environment, and does what she is told, even against her internal judgment, and is ultimately taken advantage of those who should be caring for her. She is a tragic hero of goodness, like Lazzaro, and is ill-equipped to deal with how cruel the world can be. To connect Happy as Lazzaro to Rohrwacher's latest film, La Chimera, all of Rohrwacher's films have such a wide imagination, where even the settings and expository scenarios are such interesting, well-developed worlds. The Wonders with its family of beekeepers, Happy as Lazzaro following the before and after of sharecropping laborers, and La Chimera, which follows a team of grave robbers who sell Etruscan objects in a sort of artifacts black market. The worlds are so specific and such unique scenarios to set the story up in. Alice Rohrwacher feels like a filmmaker who can take you anywhere and everywhere. As always, thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and your choice of podcast platform. You can also follow the show on social media, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Until next time, ciao, amici.